The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. Good afternoon and welcome to The Barrington Show with your host Barrington, right here on Reality Radio 101. Join our path to enlightenment with our guidance to living at your best, with a path to a higher consciousness. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. And now, right to your host of The Barrington Show, Barrington.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Barrington Show. Thank you for tuning in. It's a beautiful Sunday on the 23rd of this year. So, welcome to the show. And again, we appreciate you being there. We aim to raise you to a higher level of consciousness, to wake you up. We aim for you to realize that you are limitless and that all you want to accomplish is within you. All the tools you need for whatever you're trying to create for self or personal gain or anything, you have the tool within you. I am trying to wake you up and trying to get you to take a look in that toolbox and find all that you want and all that you will ever need. You are limitless, and we're created equal by the Creator and delivered here the same way, same method. And we'll stay here for a little bit, and then we will go back, rejuvenate, and come back again. Kind of like working through your day, your every day. You get up, and you do what you have to do. And then at the end of the day, nearing the end of the day, you wind down, and then you go to sleep. And when you're sleeping, everything gets rejuvenated if you're sleeping at the right time. And you wake up in the morning and you continue that process. Pretty much the same as our life. You come here, you fulfill this life in the human body, and then you go through life. And at the end of it, nearing the end of it, should you live until you're older, you wind down, much like you do in the afternoon after a hard day's work. And you prepare for bed, much like you do in the afternoons or nighttime. Then you go to sleep. And this is where we leave the body in the physical and we return to the spiritual world. And then we will repeat, reincarnated if you want, start again if you want, renew, refresh, much like you were sleeping in an unconscious method. And you're not aware of what's going on as the body rejuvenates itself and repeat the process of cleaning up, and you wake up in the morning brand new again. All of life is pretty much like that day. What you've done at birth is the same as what you've done when you wake up. Then you start your day, you go through your day, you do all the activities that you had planned on, if you had some planned, and then you go rest in the afternoon, and then you go to sleep at night, and you repeat. This is how life works. You will be born, you're listening, you're hearing me, so you're there, and then you will go through life and you'll carry on all the activities of life, whichever path you've chosen, and then most often it's chosen for you, you're just unaware of it. So this time you will go through, and in the later part of your years, you will start to prepare to go home, to return, to go back to source, and when that is complete, your return, your body's laid down because it's too old to carry on or too tired or diseased or maybe broken. And then you go back, rejuvenate, go through the filtration process, go through the spiritual world, and then you come back and you start again. So technically you don't die unless you're assuming that every night when you go to sleep and you're unconsciously aware of what's going on, you're dead. Well, you're just not there for that moment. You're still there in the physical. Everything is still functioning. The body is still working. But the whole idea is for it to repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat. We're alive. We're part of this land. We're a product of this land. And whatever you do, your existence will always be here. Only sometimes it's in the physical and others it's in the spiritual. But you don't leave here. There is no wonderful place to go later on, hold hands and sing Kumbaya. And I'm not going to call it the name. And there's no other place to go to, have a bad experience or to burn or something like that. There's none of that. This is just a process we go through. And the day you're living today or yesterday or the day before that is the day that you will live based on what you do. And the cycle continues. So you could compare the existence of your life to the presence a day or a week, if you want to do it that way. But you're still going to go through waking up, rejuvenating, doing your activity, and then go back, relax, lay down, go to sleep, refresh, and start again. If you play soccer and it gets confusing and you're in a jam, the ball is kicked out of bounds, and then the game could reset itself. So you can also imagine that's happening to you. You're resetting yourself to start. So prepare yourself. And when you wake up, you're at your best. And I said before, it's somewhere between 2:30 and 3 o'clock in the morning. You're the sharpest. If you're singing, if you're writing, if you're doing anything of great task that you want to do and accomplish it and do best at it, you might want to tackle it at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, because that's your sharpest point. I say all that to say this. I am trying to wake you up. Wake up, everybody. Come to a realization. Learn who you are. Learn the truth about self. Spend some time on you. Do some research on you. Look within you and find the quality that you enjoy the most and capitalize that. Put that on the top shelf because that is the true you. Identify who you are. Identify your purpose. Identify what it is to be alive and to have the human experience. Our existence here is for the learning process and to understand what it's like to be human and to express ourselves in a body, to feel and to have pleasure and to not to experience pain, because unfortunately, there is no such thing on the other side of this life, of this circle. There is no pain while you're not experiencing or you're not in the body. The pain only resides, emotional feelings and pain, all this stuff only resides because you have the flesh to be able to tell you or teach you how to say, ouch. But without that, there is no pain of any sort without your body, which always intrigues me when they tell me I'm going to go to hell and burn. And yeah, they have said that to me, and I don't know what's going to be burning when I've left the body here. So, and I will not be able to feel it anyway because I don't have that ability. And what exactly would be burning? Wake up, everybody. This is what we're talking about. Please, I urge you to wake up. Wake up and learn thyself. Understand who you are and be truth to yourself. This is what I'm saying. Thank you, everyone, for coming to the Barrington Show. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you being there. Without you being there, I couldn't be here. So we're working as a team. We're connected. We're all the same. Welcome to all the old listeners, old-time listeners, as well as my new listeners. Thank you for being a part of this. Everybody, if you can hear what I'm saying, welcome. Welcome to the Barrington Show. Welcome home. The words we speak to ourselves, they take life. I just got that phrase from a friend of mine today, and it means so much. And I was listening to it and thinking about it. The words we speak to ourselves take life. So you have to be very careful of what you say to yourself. And, you know, if you're saying the things that are positive, great. If you're saying the things that are not so positive, you're doing damage to self. They say words don't hurt, and that is not true. That is the furthest from the truth. A lot of us are living the experience today in our adult years based on the things that we heard from our parents or the adults during our lives when we were very young and easily manipulated or convinced or whatever you want to call that. the words you speak to yourself, they take life. They take life. And you have to be consciously aware of what you're saying to you, because you're doing damage to self. And you might have been doing it for so long that you're unaware of it. You're not even sure what you're doing to you. If you're constantly throwing negativity on yourself, imagine this if you can. You go camping and you want to make a fire, and you go out and you find the firewood and the sticks and everything else you need to make the fire, and you're just about to go through the process of starting that fire for it to set ablaze to do what the task that you want the fire for, and then you throw a bucket of water on it. You dump a bucket of water or a jug or whatever on that spot, firewood, everything else. It's going to take you so much longer for that to dry out, for you to re-clean, set up again, and start again. So please, don't be throwing water on your own fire, because that's the negativity, by the way. The water that I'm trying to say is the negativity. When you're positive and you're doing something productive and you're being great to yourself, and then all of a sudden you throw this zinger in there, you throw the monkey wrench in the program, or you throw the bucket of water on that fire, you have just stopped yourself. And that act is 16 times more powerful than the act of putting it together in the first place, which is a positive. So we want to teach, train ourselves to always be positive in every situation. See the light at the end of that tunnel. Just don't go towards it. And you see the positivity in all that you're doing. And in doing that, you will also elevate yourself, and you're elevating people around you. You stop for a minute. You've taken some time. You gathered the firewood. You found the spot. Everything is great. You're ready to go. And bam, you throw water on top of it. And you've just pulled apart and diminished everything that you've done. And it's going to take that much longer for it to hit home, for you to be able to get back to that one spot where you're just about to ignite, no pun intended, and you're starting again. And if you keep doing that, you're starting again. Remember, 16 times more powerful than the positive action that you should have been taking in the first place. So remember, always think positive. And while we're on this, I want to throw in that when you're busy thinking bad about other people and wishing for them to do fail or whatever it is that you're doing, you're taking this negativity and you're trying to push it onto somebody else, you are ordering all of those thoughts for yourself. You're making a call and you're ordering them in, because the deliverer only has your address. Just your address. So when you're busy wishing bad things on somebody else, be very careful. Stop doing it. If it's wrong and you're doing it, stop doing it. Now you know that it's wrong, so don't do it. Because you order something negative, an ill will towards another person or situation or anything, you have just ordered that to yourself. You have made that purchase. It's being delivered to you, because the deliverer only has your address. And because you've ordered it, it's coming to you. So think hard before you start wishing things on other people. The negativity that you're calling for, that deliverer only has your address. So take some time to make sure that whatever you want delivered to you, it is of good nature, from a good place, from your good heart. And you can't wish this on someone else, because it will hit you first. And you'll get angry because you're wondering why you're not progressing the way you want to, and the person that you're wishing this bad thing on is seem to be doing their life. You don't have that effect. You don't have the ability, the power to change another person's state of mind or change how they see life. You could suggest if you want, but by ordering it in and say deliver it to so and so, it doesn't work. You get stuck with it, and now it becomes yours. You cannot order in, because a message won't be delivered to you for you to pass it on to somebody else. It will be delivered to you. my good faith or bad faith won't be given to somebody else to give to me because from my creator. My message will come directly to me. My downfall will come directly to me, or my uprising, my positivity, everything will come directly to me based on my mindset. And I'm busy wishing for good things, good health, happiness, all these great things. And this is for everybody to enjoy. And it will affect you. If you're hanging out with bad company, that negativity is lingering around and you are exposed to it. Just like when somebody breaks wind, you don't see it, but gosh, you know it's there. So the good thing is you try to avoid the negativity or the negative in people. And if they're telling you how badly they wish that person would fail or this would happen to them or they should crash or, you know, lose their fortune or whatever, you are ordering that negativity towards you and it's being delivered to you and now you will own it. And the fact that you've spent so much of your mind power and time and everything else to hoard this in, your mind is focused on it, it becomes your reality. Because your mind is focused on it. Anything you focus on will become yours. Because that's how the mind works. And I'm saying all this because I'm setting up what we're actually going to talk about today is in praying. Today's show, if you want to look it up anywhere, it's called Praying. And we're going to talk a lot about praying and the effects that praying has. Or is there somebody out there who's getting my message, the praying message, and then answering it and then resolving it and then giving me the answer? Or is it just that I'm talking to myself? I am reminding myself of the things I want to do, in my case, in a positive light, or yours as well, I hope. We're going to talk about praying. Often enough, somebody would write in and ask me if I pray. And I would think about it, and I have. When the show's done, I still run it through my head and say, who would I pray to? Wouldn't I be just praying to myself? If there was somebody out there, if there's a team, if there is a boardroom, if there's a guy in a chair and long hair and call himself God, if I'm talking to them and I'm asking for something, they being the creator of me, wouldn't they know my desire so I wouldn't have to ask? I don't think your child who's 5 years old has to ask you for food. Oh, you know, shouldn't have to ask you for food because you're being the parent and you understand clearly that it's this time of the day, therefore my child will need food. So you provide. And this is what we hope for the entity that you think exists out there that would provide for us being the children or their creation. They created us so they know what we need. They understand our guides. Everybody is with us all the time. They know there's a pain in my leg. So why wouldn't they just cure it for me? I don't have to tell them or ask for them. And if you're going to ask your whoever you pray to deliver money or goods or riches to you, it's not going to happen. I don't think they understand that language. And often enough, if they didn't, if they do, you may not be in that situation to appreciate it because all things that comes to you isn't necessarily going to benefit you, even though it may look glorious on the flyer, or on the magazine, or wherever you may have seen it, or the vacation. It might not be according to you. We all say to ourselves, why does the grass seem greener on the other side of the fence? Of course it does. It doesn't belong to you. Your grass looks exactly like your grass does. And if it's very green, good for you. And if it's not, you might have to do some work. So the grass could be greener on the other side of the fence, I agree, but it's not for you. So it's not yours. Now, what changes everything in everybody's minds all the time? And I've used this analogy a few times, that if you're on the ocean and you're stuck out there for whatever reason, and you're in a boat and the boat is leaky, and, you know, you're in a, let's say the pond, not an ocean or lake, and it's filled with alligators. Your boat is sinking and you're in a lake that's filled with alligators. What do you do? Well, you can pray all you want. You could pray that the alligators are vegetarians or pray that the lake will freeze so you don't have to worry about your water to fill up your boat for you to sink. Or you could change your thoughts. Simply don't go to the panic mode. Just change your thoughts. Same thing if it was a shark coming towards you, which is what I often say, and you have to change your thoughts. I am not his lunch. I am not going to be his lunch. I'm not going to be his lunch. And by saying that, you are sending that direct message to another entity source, just like yourself, in a spiritual world to say, leave me alone. Go find lunch elsewhere. And that's by changing your thoughts. But if you're like, oh, no, oh, my Lord, and whatever you do when you pray, you're ordering that in. You're, oh, that lunch seeker will see you and go, oh, free lunch, easy catch lunch. But if you change your thoughts to realize that it's not you, this is not you, this is not happening to me. I am not sick. I'm doing well. Financially, I'm handling my own. You change the thoughts. But if you're constantly saying, oh, I'm stuck, I'm broke, I'm bored, ugh, I can't, well, that's cancer. And you start calling these things in, stop it. Stop it. If you're thinking it, you're ordering it. Why don't you just think of positive things, a great meal, a fulfilling meal, a healthy life, a healthy partner, a healthy, happy, you know, everything. Do that. Because when you focus on something, it's coming to you. Whatever it is that you focused on, you're going towards it. It's coming towards you. Inevitably, you're going to meet, and that will become your reality. Wouldn't it be nice if it was something positive that you will truly enjoy? You want to sing? Focus on that. You want to dance? Focus on that. You want to be happy? Focus on that. You want to be less miserable? Focus on that. You want to be miserable? You just go ahead and focus on that. It'll come too. Whatever your thoughts are, it's the magnet. It is the magnet. And you're part of the steel, and the magnet is there. And if you work towards each other, it will inevitably make that connection, because that's what they do. If you flip that magnet around, as it gets close to you, it pushes it away, pushes it away. So you're ordering these things that you think you want, and then you're using the wrong formula. It's not going to come. You're actually rejecting it. You're pushing it away. I had a guru friend of mine, shaman, and we spoke a lot, and one of her favorite phrases was always, stand out of your way. Just get out of the way. Allow it to happen. Don't block you. Open your mind, open your heart, receive, order, wait, it'll come. Deliverer will bring it, but don't block it by saying, I'm not going to get that. That's not for me. It's not going to work for me. Stand out of your way. If you have batteries that you're putting in, I don't know what you put batteries in nowadays, a flashlight, and you don't put them in the right order, they will not work. If you put the two positive together, it won't work. If you put the two negative together, it won't work. You have to put them at opposite ends so you can get that current, that connection, the effect. You have to line them up accordingly. And this is it. The same thing works with our thoughts. You have to put your thoughts in a positive manner towards what you want. And don't be busy putting it negative towards other people, because you've just thrown a monkey wrench in your own program. You have just swallowed that razor blade that you know inevitably is going to wreak havoc in your system. Eventually, inevitably, it will happen. Think positive thoughts, and don't be too busy trying to fix others in a negative manner. And if you want to go out there and do positive things for people, please get their permission. Because without their permission, it's not going to happen. They won't even know you're praying or trying. But get their permission. And they will say no, or they say yes. Now, if they say yes, you've got a responsibility and now you're guiding. If they say no, walk away from it. How often have we sat down and see people in pain, hurting, in their bed? They're going to die. And we're praying, we're hoping, we're saying all these things for them to survive. Well, you don't know their destination. You don't know their set out. You don't know their goal. You don't know much about its situation. You just want them to, let's just say for the argument's sake, stay alive. What do they want? And you don't have that power to call in the repairman for that situation. You could call it for yourself, but you really can't call it for John Doe or Susie Q. You could call it for yourself. So instead of hoping that this person will get better or stay alive, because we know leaving this body is inevitable, it's going to happen soon enough. you can hope that that person no longer goes through suffering or pain. And by sending out that positive, that very positive message, it will be received. You don't know the person's tour of duty or the line or when they're supposed to go and when they're supposed to come or whatever the situation is. So I don't know that you have the right to be able to hope or pray for them to stay alive. You do not know much about the situation other than that you just want them to be pain-free and happy. I went a very long time to say, welcome to the Barrington Show. You're listening to Barrington on realityradio101.com. There's a book out there. It's called The Awaken and Ascension Guide. It's supposed to align you to your true purpose in life. It opens the door and shines a light down the path that you should journey on so you can find the best you. And to thine own self, I want you to be true. Find your path. The book is available to you at amazon.ca. You could look it up. Or if you go to our website, HEAMI, BarringtonAwaken.com. We want to wake you up. Wake up and see life as you're supposed to and follow through your dream and live what you were expected to live when you showed up here and not be influenced by others who are trying to manipulate you into being their servant. I want to say much about the praying time, but at this moment, we're still going to talk about praying because there's a lot more that I need for you to understand about praying. And while we go, and we're going to answer some emails. So before we go into that, I want to ask you this question. If the slave and the master is praying to the same God, why is only one answer? Why is he consistently answering the master and neglecting the slave's prayer? We're praying to the same God. Why is he only answering one prayer if he does exist for the sake of answering a prayer? Hold on to that for a second. Do we have any emails there, Gary?
We do have some emails. Saul wrote in, and Saul just wanted to say, happy Victoria Day weekend to you. Enjoying your show from Ottawa. So that's from Saul. Thank you, Saul. Megan wrote in, and you answered her question already. She said, also, happy Victoria weekend, and she also wanted to know again the information where she can purchase your book, and you did answer that, so thank you to Megan. Ralph has a question. He says, when you say our life and or destiny is chosen for us, by whom? And that's from Ralph. Let's see here. Hold on. Mike writes in and he says, I love your analogy about the shark, hoping he's a vegetarian. that's from Mike. Folks, if you are just tuning in, you are listening to The Barrington Show right here on Reality Radio 101. And you can contact Barrington live right now by sending us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. Back to you, Barrington.
Yes, thank you very much. I'm going to go with Mike first. Yeah, the shark being a vegetarian. I hope you understand all that I was saying about that, is that if you're ever in that situation, and I don't think it happens often enough for us to think about it, but if you are, if by that one little fraction of a percent you get yourselves there, no, you can't hope that the shark is a vegetarian because we know he's not. So he is looking for lunch, probably, because he's coming towards you aggressively. And I say that so you can relate to what I'm saying, that if you caught yourself, if you're in a bad situation, don't sit there and pray for it to change. Please, God or your creator or the great one or all that there is will help you when you're willing to help yourself. He will take a step towards you once you take a step towards him. And sitting on that couch or wherever you're doing your praying from, and you pray and you pray and you pray until the cows come home. But until you get up and try to do something about the situation you're praying for, nothing will happen. Take a step. So yeah, no, the shark is not vegetarian. I'm very clear with that. So thank you for that, Mike. You gave me a good little smile there. And just change your situation, change your thoughts, change the way you look at life, because that's your only hope. and no one's going to deliver a message based on what you were prayed for. I heard a story a long time ago about this boy somewhere in some foreign country who wanted to go to university and he couldn't afford it, but he wrote letters every day and addressed it to the Para-Atman, which is the greatest creator, all the creator, creator of all things. And he would mail this letter every day. He would write a letter and send it in the mailbox addressed to this guy. And then somehow, I'm going to cut the story short, it happened that somebody came and offered him that opportunity to go out and go to school and get the university education that he wanted. So the point behind all of that is it was the action that he took towards what he wanted that was delivered to him. The chance will come. So somebody out there is trying to meet you halfway. Someone out there was going to give a scholarship to some child. And maybe one of the letters he sent out became a topic somewhere among the postal workers, I would imagine. And then it was heard by somebody who would have given him that opportunity. I'll tell you something. If he didn't do the physical right and he sat on his knees all day or wherever he does his praying, do you think somebody else would have heard it and given him that opportunity? Praying is awesome and it does work if you take action. So just don't pray, just take action and take it from there. So I say that all to answer, I guess is Mike's question. Ralph, you wanted to know who chooses your path for you. Well, I'll tell you this for certain, you did. You did. But people get here, and when you were born, you're pure, you're focused, you know where you're going. You just don't know how to walk and talk and express yourselves yet. Until you've learned to become full human, you can up and run about and do all these things and play and be happy and be courageous. Yeah, you were very focused as to what you want, but you learned other things. First of all, they start labeling you, calling you Ralph, and then they start labeling you, saying you're a boy, and you're probably this religious or that, you know, background. And you get all these labels given to you, which you didn't have before. And if you could imagine in your early, you won't remember, Ralph, but if you could imagine when your children were very young, first of all, they start identifying with that name because they know it's not them. And, you know, say things like, well, Ralph is hungry. Ralph is tired. Ralph wants to go to sleep. And eventually they bring it into themselves and say, oh, I guess you're calling me Ralph. I'm Ralph. And I'm Catholic, or I'm this religion, or I'm that race. And, I, you know, this is how it is. So you take on all the labels. And in all that process, you get discombobulated, somewhat confused. And then you wake up one day and experience or start living all that others are telling you. And be it good or bad, you act accordingly. You choose. You choose. You choose your path. And the beautiful thing about that is even at this moment, if you can hear me, you're searching. If you're searching, there's better out there. There's entities out there that wants you to be a part of it. And that's what you're looking for. If you're searching, you can hear me. The point that I'm making is if you want to make that change, you can. It has to be a conscious effort. And then you do the work that is required. If you're an electrician today, you can't just wake up tomorrow morning and get a bass guitar and say, oh, I'm going to be a bass player and start playing. No, you're going to have to learn. Or a painter or a dancer, you will have to learn. You just don't snap your finger and it happens in the morning. It took most guys 7 years, what I did, to become the person that I am with the company that I run. And it took 7 years and there's no shortcut to it. I had to have gone through all that training and time and studies and all these things that you have to do because that is what is required to accomplish what you want. The question is, are you willing to put in that time? There's no shortcut through it. I hear from the expert all the time, if you want to be an awesome musician, instrument player, you need to put in 10,000 hours. Hey, somebody says that, but it's true. Because that's the experience. And if you're willing to go through that, put in your 10,000 hours of practicing and playing and bam, you're there. It's like going into school. You can't get that 4-year degree until you've done the 4 years in school. Unless you're cheating the system, it doesn't change who you are. It just makes you a liar. You choose your destiny. Please choose wisely. Megan and Saul, thank you very much for the happy Victoria Day weekend. If you don't know what that is, we're in Canada. We're broadcasting to you from Southern Ontario. And we have what they call the Queen Victoria May 2-4 weekend, we label it. And this is supposed to be our free of the winter. Let's go camp. Let's go boat. Let's go do all the summer activities because we only have a few months to enjoy it. But we're in lockdown, so we're not having much fun with it, and we're just making the best of it. But thank you very much for wishing that. And Saul from Ottawa and Megan, and you answered, you got the question about the book. It's on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, BarringtonAwaken.com. Thank you all for your writing. So we're talking about praying, and the idea, I want you to understand that you will accomplish, your prayers will work, but you have to know that you're just ordering in what you say. And when you're praying, you're actually sending a post-it and you stick it to your fridge or your computer or the front door or wherever it is as a reminder to you as to what you want. So you're really just praying to yourself. You're the one who answers your prayers. So if they're not being answered, hey, get with it, man. Get on board. Fix yourself. Do your job. That's when the prayer is not being answered. If you don't take it to trying to fix another person's life, you're just trying to adjust yours. If your prayers are not answered, you're not doing the right work. Because you can't sit there on the couch, watch TV, and pray to become a NBA player. I would have done it if that was the case. Of course, why wouldn't I? But I know that's not the case. If I want to be an NBA player, I got to go out there and do the work. Hit the pavement, bounce that ball, do whatever it takes, because that is the course, that is the path towards it. And by praying for it, or money, or love, or happiness, or good health, you must take the action and remember that the God is going to help you. The Creator is going to help you once you take action. Take an action and they will enlighten it. You're going down the alleyway, man, and it's dark. It's very dark and you're scared. So the help and source or that situation would be the light post will turn on a light so you could see. That's all it does. You're praying. The prayer is to yourself. When you're driving down the road and you're doing or walking, whatever you do, and you're heading down the road or somewhere, and you're having that conversation to yourself, who are you talking to? And who's listening? The observer is listening. The recording station, the computer bank, the mainframe is listening. And these things that you're asking for or you're hoping for, they're all within you. They're all within you. So yeah, go ahead and pray. Stick another note on the fridge to say, I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to eat properly, or I'm going to do the work to get the promotion at my job, or be that good husband, or be that good wife, or be that mother, be that great mother. These are all the prayers that you can answer yourself. Because I asked you the question before we took that break and says, if we're all praying to the same source, to the same entity, to the God that you claim, or the Messiah, or the Allah, or whoever is out there, we're praying to him, how does he choose what answers to who to answer? When the football players are lined up in the field and they're going to play the game, I'm sure both teams are praying, but they both can't win. You know, maybe your God favors that team and that's the winner. Or maybe your God favors this team and that's the winner. Hates that team, definitely the loser. But I don't know that it works that way. So if we're praying to the same entity, to the same source, all of our prayers can't be answered because both of those players on the team can't win, won't win. Or maybe the Creator don't like sports. I don't know. That was just my analogy. I'm simply saying that if the slaves and the masters are praying to the same entity, to the same source, why is it seen as it's just one side is being answered? Is that how God works? Who prays more? Well, there's some truth to that. If you say it often enough, it comes quicker. Yes. But we have to look back at the fact that the people that are kidnapped, that are the slaves, that are in the sex trade work, they're probably praying for this to come to an end. Why is the prayer seems to be favoring to the oppressors? Well, it doesn't make any sense. Or is it just the thoughts, just the mindset that you don't end up there? This is not for me. This is not for me. I say this, I don't say it quite often, but I don't drive my vehicle anywhere and lock the doors. I get out and sometimes take the key out, throw it on the seat and go about my day. my business, whatever I'm doing. And a lot of people tell me I'm crazy for doing that, but I simply let them know that when it's time to lock it up, I will be told and I will lock it up. Other times I know full well that I am not a subject to whatever they're thinking is going to happen, and it doesn't happen because I know it's not me. It is not me. And that's what I was saying about the shark coming towards you. It's not my day. No, you're not having me for lunch. I am nobody's lunch. And no thing's lunch. So yeah, I can afford to walk walk away from my vehicle, take the keys out of the ignition and throw it on the floor somewhere and go about my day. And I come back and everything is as is. Those odd days when I'm out there, I get that vibe, lock it up. By all means, I do. Because I'm being guided and I'm being told. I drive down the road, and I shouldn't be saying this on the public radio, but I don't have my seatbelt on because I don't have my seatbelt on, not because I'm reckless, but simply because I don't. And then I will get a message, put your seatbelt on. And sure enough, I do click, I go around the corner and there's that policeman, or there's that spot check or that road check. So somebody's looking out for me. And I'll tell you, I have had the experience where they woke me up from a passenger in a car, get up, and I did, and they told me to put my seatbelt on, and put the seatbelt on, and bang, there was an accident within a second of me making that seatbelt click. Your guides got your back. They're hearing you. They're there to protect you. Like you watch over your children, make sure it doesn't run into traffic or eat something that's dangerous to them, or poison, or play with sharp objects. You do that. That's your job. The guides that exist is doing their job. All you got to do is listen and be able to connect and hear them. That's all we're saying. Wake up. Just wake up. Connect yourself to spirituality. Connect yourself to the things that matters to you most. Connect yourself with the ability to protect your greatest asset, which is the existence of your body. Without it, well, you know, if you don't have it, you're not here. So protect that. The guides are there to help you. The guides are there to guide you. The guides are there to do a job, and you have to allow them to do that. But in order to do it, you must tune into the same channel that they're on so they can communicate with you. Sometimes they send a message to somebody else. They say, hey, go back, stupid. Didn't you see the sign that says danger? And, you know, they post it in front of you in big red. And they say, hey, they're screaming at you. But if you choose not to listen, then you're going to have to see what the danger is, don't you? Or maybe feel it. Connect yourself to the spirituality, because it's the source. It's your entity. It's the current that carries you. It's allowing the two magnets to connect to each other and not to repel. You know, if you turn them the opposite direction, one is pushing, they're pushing away from each other, but turn it around and they'll connect. That is you and your spirituality. Do that connection and see how amazing the entity is, the source, the ability to understand that you are limitless. Part of our conversation, and again, I'm going to stay on the prayer thing. I tried to imagine what it would be like to be a, you know, a 10-year-old who has to go to confession. You have to go there to confess to something that you've done wrong when you're a child. And if you've got to go, I don't know how often, once a month, and then you have to confess on something, they're focusing on the negative aspect of you, and then you're forced to lie. So we're being trained to tell a lie, because, you know, we're not going to tell them what we really did. We're just going to make up a story. And then you feel guilty because you feel that you've lied to the gods that governs you, and it makes you feel crappy about yourself. And you carry that on for the rest of your life. How many times have we gone to confession and just made up a story and not tell the bad one, just made something that sounds a little bad? And then we hold that secret of whatever it is that we did, and then hold on to that, and we carry this into our adult years. We're training the youngins to lie. And in doing that, it manifests itself into anger because of the guilt. First, there's the guilt. You feel bad about it. And then eventually it rots at your gut, and then you become angry. We're creating this on purpose in our young ones. Do we know that we're doing that? Was it a plan that was drawn out by someone? Or are we just ignorant to the fact that we're setting them up to fail and we're teaching them how to lie? What's up with that? Do you have anything else there, Gary?
Yes, we do. Paula said, I didn't quite get when you were talking that something is 16 times more powerful. What were you referring to and why the number 16? That's from Paula. Angela says, that story you told about the little boy praying to go to school, what was the name of the person he was praying to? That's from Angela. And let's see here. Renee says, when we are praying to our guides, to me, that's praying to angels and to God. That's from Renee. Let me just see here, refresh. And Jonathan writes in, he says, also, happy Victoria Day to you up there in Canada. And let's see, I think that's it. And yes, back to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. John, yeah, thank you very much for that happy Victoria Day request. I appreciate that. And we're taking it, we're loving it. But again, we're dealing with the best situation based on COVID lockdown and all that stuff. But yeah, it is a beautiful weekend. I haven't been out. I've been working all of it. But still, thank you very much for that and the acknowledging of that. And yes, we are up here in Canada, right next close to the cold weather. Renee, yes, I do understand that when you pray, you are praying to your angels and your gods. And this is amazing. I don't know them to be any different from each other. And angels are not any different from the guides that I speak of all the time. You just labeled it that way. Nothing wrong with it. Awesome. That's what you're used to. But the guides guide us and we just need to make that connection to them. But if the guides are part of you and you're a part of the guides, wouldn't that be praying to yourself? Because everything is connected. We're all one. We're all connected. There's no separation here. We're connected to our spiritual self, even though we're in the physical body. We're connected to everything that exists. We're all a part of it. Like the universe is all a part of us. Like somebody pinched a bit of everything that exists here and shake it all together and voila, puts it in a mold and you showed up because you're a part of it all. The story I tell about that all the time is baking the cake and you get the whatever the ingredients and the dough and the water and the da-da-da and you mixed it all up and you bake it properly and bang, every single piece of that cake should taste the same. Pretty much as every single piece of that cake or this universe would be an entity like myself, like you, Tom, Dick, and Harry. Or Bessie, Sue, and Jane. However, they're all the same because they've come from the same place by the same method and to do the same job, to be a human being. We're all connected. So going to what Renee says about when I do pray, I pray to my angels. Well, aren't you that? I sure hope you think you're an angel. And you're praying to your God. And you have to know that you are that. You are praying to yourself. There is no separate control tower, boardroom, group of organizers, coordinators out there. This is it, Renee. You're it, Renee, and everybody else. You're it. You are actually praying to self. Someone wanted to know about the letters I was talking about, and it's something I learned when I was in school. I think I was in my mid-30s, and I was going through school studying philosophy, and we told that story, and it was the letter was being written to God. And everybody, a lot of other groups of people, the name I use was a para-atman, the absolute. It is referred to, it's referred to that in the Hindu language. The absolute, all that there is, the creator, the God, the Buddha, Allah, you name it, all anything you want. We're talking about the same entity, like the angels again and the guides. It's all the same. Call it as you wish. You can call it a rock. As long as you believe it is, or tree, or the earth, anything you want to label it as, just identify what it is that you're labeling, and this is the greater source of existence, which is you, which is a part of you. Again, going back to what Renee's saying about angels and whatnot, you're a part of it. You're all a part of it. All of life is a part. It's just one big wheel, and you're a part of the wheel. You can't say the back end or the top end of the wheel is more important than the sides of it. Well, it's not. They work together like the team. Every member on that team is just as important, equally important. And you know, you pay some more. I don't know why you do that. But without you on that team is not a team. It's something else. A part of it's been broken off. we're all a part of this. And because we're all connected, we're all a part of it. Like every single part of your body is a part of your body. So you go ahead and chop off the pinky in the right hand and see how well the left hand responds to that. It'll feel it. It's an effect of it. You will feel it. Chop off the left leg. See what the right leg has to say about it. You know, but don't do any of those things. I'm just simply trying to give you an analogy, not to chop off your legs or your fingers. But I'm just saying that if it's all connected to the same source, it impacts the entire source. When you're in a country that half the people hates each other and vice versa, it impacts the entire country. It does. The growth is greater when all arrows are pointing in the same direction and you're moving towards each other. And silly enough, you learn to be tolerant and loving, and you will gain more as opposed to playing the game of tug of war. Yeah, there you go. Playing the game of tug of war. You're both at opposite ends of this rope pulling at each other. What if you tie that rope to a rock and everybody just pulls it in a positive direction? You will accomplish. I learned a long time ago that the Egyptians building the pyramids were all working towards building the pyramids at every different level. The ones that prepared the food, to the architect that cut the stone, to the ones who carried the stone or provide water for those who were doing the work. And they were all focused on building that pyramid. And what an accomplishment. We still haven't figured it out. But all the arrows were pointing in the same direction, and you're not playing tug of war, pulling each other in opposite directions. And that's what we're doing as a group. Collectively, we're doing this. We don't like the neighbor. The neighbors don't like us. We're pulling against each other. We don't like that country. That country doesn't like us. Or we don't like that religion, and that religion don't respect ours. We're pulling against each other. Try to imagine you being the same source. I think it's in the Hindu Bible I was reading a while back, and it says something about, I refuse to go to war. Lord Krishna says, I refuse to go to war with those that I see as my brother. I paraphrase that. Don't. That's the gist of it. I refuse to go to war with my brother. And we won't. We will stand united and fight and do whatever it is that we have to do. But if I am connected to you, you are me, I am you, he am I am him, then yes, the war that I'm fighting my own brother. Again, I'm cutting the finger off the left hand and, you know, I'm going to laugh at him later because I've got five, he's now down to four. Well, that's kind of silly. The whole body's down to nine. Like, think about it. You are doing unjust to yourself. The para atman is the God. And then I'm saying this guy was sending a letter out. What he was doing is actually praying. And eventually the prayer was heard and he got his wish. You wanted to hear about the 16 times. The negative is 16 times more positive, more stronger, more forceful than the negative. Than the positive. I'm sorry, I'm getting confused here. The question was, how did I come up with that number 16? Well, I didn't come up with it. It was told to me a very long time ago that one positivity is included. And there's a book I read, and I'm not sure of this. Don't quote me on it. I think it was Dale Carnegie, and that was many years ago. But I just happened to remember that one positive thought A negative thought is 16 times more powerful than a positive thought. Ooh, that took a while to get out. So you want to think negative, positive, because when you start thinking negative, you're going 16, 32, 64, 128. You get the gist, you know, and continue on, because then you constantly now has submerged yourself into the negative world, negativity. And it's going to take a long time for you to let it loose, cut it free, walk away, and go on a positive street where you're only thinking positivity. I got that from some books I read many years ago. And like I said, I believe it was one of Dale Carnegie's books. And it talks about being the strength of the negativity. And you can look it up. I've done since. And it is 16 times more powerful than a positive thought. So be very careful. Be very, very careful, folks, of what you say to yourself. And what you say to yourself is harsh, and it will take a life of its own. So be very careful of what you're saying to yourself. When you're having a self-conversation, be very careful. And be very careful of what you hope for. because it's going to come. And when you start ordering things for someone else, it's being delivered to your address. So unless you have a physical way of picking up all that bad vibe, negativity, and bring it over to that person's residence or wherever they hang out and throw it at them, then you're probably going to be stuck with it. So just be very, very positive into what you're doing and think positive in everything that you do, because it's our way out. It's our way out. It's a way out. It's the only way out. And you can only ride this wave when you're in a positive light, in a positive manner, in a positive motion. So thank you, everybody, for that. And thank you. I hope I explained that 16 times more powerful than the one positive thought. And I don't know who designed it. Sounds like an ounce versus a pound. I don't know who designed it. Yeah, 16 ounces. Yeah. I don't know who designed it, but that's how it is. And I can see how the negativity has impacted us based on how we dwell on this negative for very, very long periods of time. And it just becomes a part of who we are. And we've been doing it for so long, we don't even realize that we're doing it. So we accept it as the norm. It makes us feel guilty. In return, it makes us feel angry. Let it go. Don't be arguing with your brother because he's you. Don't be arguing with your neighbor because he's you. Doesn't stop you from being frustrated, but when you're going to go further and take it to the next level, trying to do harm or do damage, be careful. If you are planning to dig a ditch for somebody, please dig two, because one's yours. If you're digging a ditch for somebody else, dig two. One belongs to you. Be careful of what you're saying. A couple of minutes left, a few minutes left to go. Do we have any other emails out there, sir?
No, we do not.
Okay. We're talking today about praying, and I hope I was able to go through all of what I wanted to cover today on the fact that you can pray if you want to, but be mindful that you are only praying to yourself. So save yourself the time and save yourself the waiting period and take an action towards the ideas, the things that you're praying to. All the abilities that exist anywhere in the world and for anybody to do greatness for you resides within you. You are that entity, that source that will do the positive thing for yourself. So take an action towards what it is that you're praying for. Okay? And try to teach. Don't try to teach our children how to lie. And don't force them into a situation where they have to lie. And like I said, when you go, I can't imagine what it's like for a young child to walk in a confession and try to tell all the bad things about themselves. This is what I've done and it's bad. And of course, you listening to that confession say, yeah, well, you made a bad choice and that's not good. Here's the consequence. And they think by you know, hailing and doing whatever you do the damage is done because it's a part of your thoughts. It's in you. It will reside in you. It's going to live within you and you bring it to your adult years in life. And now you're pissed. And you're trying to tell other people how to live their lives. And then you probably get into a mode where you're realizing that you're worthless or you're not good enough or you're not up to snuff or you know, something's wrong with you. You're not, because you carry this for such a long. Well, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. Change your thoughts. See yourself in a positive manner. For years, I've wanted to know, and it was just not too long ago, I realized, for years, I wanted to know, how do we become such haters of ourselves? And it boils over, so we start to put it on other people. How did we become such haters of ourselves? Well, I think a lot of anxiety happened to us as children, and we're told we're no good. We're not good enough. We'll never accomplish. You're too short, you're too tall, you're too not right, you're not the right fit. And when you say this to a young person, it becomes the law for their life and they take it on forever. Forever. They don't say, okay, I'll hold on to this for a couple of years and I'll just lay it down and move on. No, it becomes a part of their life, like a tattoo. And you have to go through a lot of hoops to change that. Don't take it on and don't introduce it. Okay, thank you very much for being a part of the Barrington Show. For my last couple of minutes, I want to say, please, everybody, take care of yourself. Eat healthy food. Learn to create a plant-based diet for yourself. Don't try to go out there and do dieting in a book because they don't work, and try this diet program. Every few years of my life, there's a new revolutionary way of looking at dieting. Yeah, no, the original ones still work. Eat properly. Take some time to learn how to cook or create nutritional valued meals for you. That's all you got to do. And once you learn it, the body will accept it and automatically pushes away the ones that's not good for you, and you will be consciously aware of what you're doing. Take care of yourself. Until next time, happy long weekend to everybody who's having this great weekend with us. Happy Victoria weekend. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being a part of the show. You've been listening to Barrington on RealityRadio101.com. Tune in next Sunday for another show, and I hope you stay safe and stay well. Happy praying.
Thank you for listening to The Barrington Show with your host, Barrington, right here on Reality Radio 101.